Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. This is Way of the Dreamer, where we celebrate the power of dreams, coincidence, and imagination, those three things we often diss and discount without really thinking about all they have to offer. We have a wonderful guest today, Timothy Ewan. He was on recently. He's a teacher of active dreaming and many other things. He's a most gifted meditation guide and coach. And he loves Egypt, and he loves traveling in many worlds. And at some point in this particular show, he's going to lead us on a heart-centered meditation that I think you'll enjoy. You might feel a little bit of Egypt in it. But before we go there, Tim, I want to seize the advantage to ask you to play Dream Guide, Dream Helper for me with a couple of dream reports from last night. Would that be okay?
Absolutely. I'd love to, Robert.
All right. I'm just going to share vignettes. These are not long. They're not long dream reports anyway, but I'm just going to share a couple of scenes. And I'd love you to lead me through our lightning dream work process, and people who are not familiar with it will be picking up a way to share dreams and personal experiences. It makes it fun. It can be done quickly. It gets you to some kind of creative action. And it's the kind of social reinforcement for dreaming that our society has lacked. I mean, there's a method in my madness. I want more of us to have available to them a simple, clean, high-energy way to set up sacred space informally where we can share our stories and get non-intrusive feedback and be guided to action. All right, so the first story I will call A Second Life, you know, not the virtual reality game, but One Second Life, A Second Life. And the part of it that I want to share is this. I'm leading a very plausible, very realistic life that is not vastly different from my present life, except I've made a couple of big choices, one in terms of personal relations, and one in terms of the kind of writing that I do. I'm still a writer, but I'm doing a different kind of writing. My personal relations are somewhat different because of these choices. And I don't think that I'm aware at all in the dream before a prompt comes in, that I'm not in ordinary reality. It feels like a second life, a parallel life, fairly close to the present one, with some significant differences. I'm not lucid in the dream, and I don't think I remember that this is not where I'm living all the time. Now, so the point of transition is quite interesting, trivial in itself, but interesting in terms of how we awaken in dreams and how memory comes to us, and if you like, how we become lucid. But I think it's a little more complex and interesting than just becoming lucid. I'm with a person I'm very close to in the dream in the checkout line in, I think, something like a upscale convenience store, grocery store. And there's a man just in front of us wearing a very distinctive double-breasted brown suit, a rather old style. I mean, well cut, but rather oldie, vintagey, and a brown hat, fedora hat. And he starts up a conversation with the lady, and I'm a bit suspicious of him, but then I realize, oh, he's okay. And noticing his accent, I say to him in Spanish, "Where are you from?" And he responds in fluent Spanish and tells me he is Albanian, from Albania. And I'm surprised, and I say, well, that's interesting, because synchronistically I was watching a TV show last night with a group of Albanians in it. And at this moment, I begin to remember that I have a life somewhere else where I was in an apartment watching a TV show called Gangs of London. It's better than the terrible title suggests, featuring an Albanian. The Albanian... The way you mentioned the word Albanian is a recall. Of course, there's a sort of punning element to the dream because I live in Albany, New York, and so we sometimes speak about Albanians as well as Albanians. So that's the part of the dream I wanted to share with you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. That's a powerful image. Do you have a title for the dream?
A Second Life. But my other title is The Albanian, or The Albanian Recall.
Oh, Albanian Recall.
That's
okay.
That's a good title.
All right. How about feelings, emotions, when you came back here? How are you feeling about the dream?
I was very intently interested, and it made me think a lot about my life choices. It made me think about a lot about people and their relative importance and the two realities, a lot about a writing project that I'm doing in the dream but not doing in regular life, and thinking about whether I could bring that through. So intensely interested, and not exactly sad, but slightly nostalgic for the other life.
Ah,
you know, but slightly pining to have the other life as well.
Right. Okay. So with this one, with this dream in the Albanian, there was a connection to a triggering memory from this life. You said you were watching a previous. I showed the previous night, and that kind of triggered the Albanian memory for... Okay.
Well, I doubt that the dream was triggered by the TV series. I think the TV series was inserted, the memory was inserted into the dream to bring me awake to the fact that I'm in a second reality. So I don't think it's about programming my dream by watching TV. I think it's more interesting and more complex than that. I think the Albania theme was worked in maybe by my dream producers to get me to wake up to the fact, hey, this is not my default timeline. This is another timeline. Get it, Robert. Be present perhaps in two timelines at once. But don't just give all your credulity to the idea that this is the one reality you inhabit. So I think it was a deliberate prompt and a deliberate intervention maybe by my dream producers.
Absolutely, I can see that. I can get that sense too. How about the Albanian connection? How do you feel about that? Is there a connection there?
Well, I don't know many Albanians, I think, in the sense of people from Albania. I live in Albany, so in a sense I'm surrounded by Albanians. That's the more general pronunciation. So there's definitely, perhaps, a punning sort of joke in the whole setup. One thing intriguing to me is the get-up of this Albanian man. I mean, it's one of those old-fashioned suits that you saw in the movies from, say, the 1940s. I mean, it's in good nick. He doesn't look like a hobo. I mean, it looks like the suit is in pretty sharp. But sharp circa, you know, 1947. There might be people in Albania who still dress that way. I don't know.
Okay. So if... is there something in particular you'd like to know about this dream? Is there a question you'd like to ask it?
I think it's more the discussion of a theme than any personal question in relation to this dream. The theme is how memory is aroused in dreams, and how with memory being aroused, we might wake up to the fact that we're in a separate reality. I mean, this might result in lucidity, but that's only one aspect of it. The question is, okay, I'm in a dream. Which life am I in? Which reality am I in? What are kinds of prompts that bring that question to mind inside the dream state? So it's more exploring the theme than exploring one single question.
Yes. Yeah, and that definitely does... trigger some ideas for me. Would you like to hear from my dream? Got to get some feedback on this. Yes. I love that pun on Albany and the Albanians. Yeah. And I wonder, too, if at play in our larger sense of a kind of a multidimensional self, that we do create and set up these situations where we do have these resonances throughout time and space and other times and places. So I wonder if, you know, if there is something... what is connecting me, maybe, if this is in a parallel life or an alternate timeline that I'm experiencing, what is it about that particular moment, maybe, that's connecting with this moment? Is it more of a check-in just to see, okay, I am in these two places and I'm connected to these two times and places and these two people living these lives? But also, what is the shared, you know, maybe higher... perspective, soul experience of me right now and that person? Like, what what can we possibly share in this moment? And that that communication is wonderful. And I wonder about that as we were bringing about the image of the man in the suit. Yeah, that seems very, very strong. And the themes there, yeah, it's slightly archaic or anachronistic, but not too out of character. Someone that's well put together. So I wonder if there's a theme there of being put together in a more traditional way, but also related to, again, time. Is it this time? When is the time?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's all very good, Tim. I notice I have some benefits in the second life. I mean, I am lacking some physical impairments that I have in this body in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. I didn't seem to have that in that other life. It'd be nice to be able to swap relative mobility and relative physical health with that other one. You raise such interesting questions, one of which is, can we in some sense look over, supervise, watch over several life experiences, and can we bring things from different life experiences together in a way that is helpful, creative, you know, healthy for more than one version of ourselves? This is as a theme, as you know, that I've been alert to for quite some time, and I've been experimenting with. Can I, for example, write the book that this alternate self is writing? Mm. Can I borrow some health tips or some health factors from him that might be good? Are there things in his life and there are things in my life that he wants to share? I don't know. I notice for now the Albanian, I'll say Albanian rather than Albanian, the Albanian right. In the vintage suit has become a new character, you know, in my large cast of dream characters. I might try mm-hmm. to talk to him, or I might just look for him to show up as a sort of embodied reminder to check where I am, which life I'm in, which reality I'm in. I suspect he might now become a recurring character if he was inserted into the dream in the way that I suspect he was.
Wonderful. All right. Well, it sounds like you have the inklings of an action plan in there.
I've already drawn a picture of him. The picture is generically quite good. It's got the brown suit and the hat. I'm not sure I got the face quite right, but I've already made a visual, you know, reminder of the Albanian recall, the Albanian memory man. And what else I'll do with it for now? Well, I think I'll continue to marinate on the themes that we just discussed. That was very helpful. Thank you. If you're up for it, I'd like to keep you in the role of guide as I share a second short story from the same night. This is what followed. It's not really? Part of the same dream. It followed, and it's in a different state. You game for that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't ask me for a bumper sticker, because I...
Oh, yes.
My bad, not yours. For those who are not familiar, we just did, really, it's a four-step dreamwork process. We won't pause to go over it all just yet. But the last thing we do when we share a dream or story for temporary closure is, if we remember, we say, do you have a bumper sticker? You know, what can carry the energy or guidance of the dream? So Tim has now asked me that, and I will say, you know, we live more than one life in our dreams, and the second one would be, watch out for the Albanian.
Watch out for the Albanian. Perfect.
All right. Perfect. Well, not too quickly, but I'm having a good time, I hope. Thank you for playing this role. It is such fun, actually, playing guide or helper to someone else, and... I don't get enough of it when I'm at home, so I'm taking brutal advantage of Tim, who is, as you see, an excellent dream guide. And if you want some personal coaching or help in personal practice, Tim is a good person to go to. How can people find you, Tim?
They can find me on my website, visionaryrose.com, or find me on Facebook with the Boise Dream Circle.
Okay. Vision Road or Visionary Road?
Visionary Roads.
Visionaryroad.com. That is Timothy Ewan's website. Go look for him. He's worth knowing. And many people ask me for personal guidance and counsel. I send them, increasingly, to dream teachers like Tim who really know their stuff. All right, Tim, here's the second this is a lucid dream. In fact, it comes in that hypnopompic state when you've emerged from sleep and you're just drifting and all sorts of things going on. And although it's lucid, it is completely unprogrammed. It is completely spontaneous. There in midair, the setting is initially undefined, though a kind of room, a rather grand sort of reception room, a very grand living room forms. But initially, I just see her in midair. There's a rather impressive woman, quite striking. She's tall. She's a mature lady. She is dressed very well, again, in a slightly old-fashioned feel to it. She's wearing a charcoal gray suit, not with pants, but with a long skirt. And she's wearing a pillbox hat on top of her hair. And although she's very tall, she sort of slightly reminds me of a long-ago character in the Thin Man movies played by Myrna Loy. She sometimes reminds me of Myrna Loy, who is a bit, you know, kittenish. But kittenish is not the word for this lady. She just reminds me of that, funnily enough.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm looking at her, something strange happens. There's some blurry movement around the right side of her body, around the skirt, around the hip, lower down, and it's beginning to change color. And initially, it's just like the charcoal of the suit, and then it begins to develop some russet reddish splotches or streaks. And suddenly it's fully formed. It is a fox's tail. It's a tail, the brush of a red fox. It's got that white tag, they call it, at the end of the tail. And it's just sort of flapping there, and she's looking at me, watching my reactions as I watch it. And then she moves towards the wall of what is now a fully formed image of a reception room where there are other people doing things. And I notice as she moves towards the wall, the tail changes color and pattern. The wallpaper is a sort of blue paisley, and the tail becomes a sort of blue paisley. And I realize I am in the presence of really an astonishing shapeshifter. And she lets me know that there are others like her, but unless they're very practiced and very, very good at camouflage, they have to, the other women foxes, have to keep their tails folded up in pouches, concealed under their garments. Because not all of them can get away with her kind of camouflage. So I'm sharing this for the joy of it, really. I noticed there is a pun in the dream, which you'll probably get to.
Wonderful. All right. First, I'd like to acknowledge there was a little bit of interference during the recounting of the dream, and the synchronicities might be in play of possibly some trickster energy.
Well, when the fox is out, we always have to pay attention. The trickster often is out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so a title for the dream. This is
Letting the Tail Out. And I spell
Letting
it
the Tail Out.
I spell it T-A-L-E. Letting the Tail
Out. Ah. I like that. And feelings, emotions that were coming from the dream.
Delight. I mean, absolute delight. I thought, what a gift to have a dream character and a dream story like this just present itself. I mean, I felt I'd been rewarded.
Wonderful. Yes, I'm getting that feeling too. This is such a powerful dream. So has a character similar to this, the person or energy similar to this, have appeared into other dreams or in your meditations in
this lady is new. I mean, I've had many fox encounters, and I know many foxy women and foxy girls and some foxy men as well, and I've had many encounters with the fox, and the fox is my favorite form of the trickster, so mentioning a trickster earlier was absolutely appropriate. A combination of the fox energy and a woman of this gravitas is surprising. It's an almost masculine gravitas. I mean, she's tall. She's definitely a dominant person, mature, and I would say careful. There's only the hint of something slightly roguish when she shows her tail. Prior to that, she looks almost stern. So the combination, I suppose there's another kind of camouflage, isn't it? I suppose the combination of a mature, authoritative kind of lady in a dark gray suit and the fox tail is really delicious. But that combination I haven't run into before.
Oh, yes. Wow. Well, yes, I think with a power dream like this, too, just the sharing of that energy and that excitement and that fuel is often its own reward.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. If it were my dream, the one thing that occurs to me here, too, is just as you mentioned, too, that the energy and the contrast, there's a for me in my version of the dream, and as I see this woman, she is playful and trickster, but like you said, there's this stern, this kind of formal energy about her. And it feels like there's a key there, that someone that's powerful and stable that possibly could be an ally or a guide at some point. So what would you like to take the action on this dream?
I think I have to accept that I have been given an assignment to produce some new tales. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's the pun again. I'm a storyteller. I think I've been goaded very directly now and in a delightful way to bring out some new tales in a different sense. So that's my bumper sticker, too. I will bring out the tales. We have to take a break. I'm enjoying myself greatly. When we come back, we're going to get you to play guide for everyone in another sense, because we have a meditation planned, everybody. I think you're going to enjoy it. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Noss. Our wonderful guest is Kim Ewan. Back soon.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Noss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Noss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Noss. Our wonderful guest is Timothy Ewan. You can find him at visionaryroad.com. And go find him. You see, he's a wonderful coach and dream guide. He's also great at leading meditations and journeys, which sometimes are Egyptian-themed, because he knows Egypt well, and maybe you're fortunate enough to hear an Egyptian journey that he led in a previous show. So, Tim, you have an exercise for us, a meditation for us called the Scales of Adjustment, and I'm going to hand it over to you to lead us on a journey which will take us perhaps to the place of the heart and to find out what the heart knows and what the heart needs.
Perfect. Thank you, Robert. Well, as we consider some powerful symbols, the weighing scales are a powerful symbol in the Western psyche, and representative of balance and truing up. The symbol goes back to at least the New Kingdom Egypt and the famous scene of the weighing of the heart found in the Book of Going Forth by Day, otherwise known as the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Here, the recently deceased has their heart, the essence of their being, their soul weighed against the fetter of Ma'at. And Ma'at is one of the more abstract forces in Egyptian cosmology. She is the cosmic order of things, that which is true in every sense of the word, what is in accord, what is right, what is even or straight when measured even in a geometric or architectural sense. So in that way, Ma'at encompasses and unifies both a very physical experience of the world with what might consider a more subjective sense of rightness. So even today, the scales imbalance with what is true and what is right lives in representations of Lady Justice, even in our own time and place. And one might see her blindfolded eyes as being turned to something more encompassing than the particular circumstances involved, a higher order. So these scales hold a lot of mythic weight in the collective psyche. They can be accessed by anyone in order to find alignment and or come back into alignment with a larger context to their lives. And I'd like to offer this journey a portal image that is easily and safely utilized by anyone who is sincere in their desire to find balance. It is a way to help ease and empower the journey to a reconciliation with a larger sense of soul and a place within the cosmic order. So as we begin, I invite you to invite your own spiritual guides that you may work with, maybe the animal powers, personal guardians, benevolent ancestors, and the like. Envision, with your eyes closed, you'll find yourself at a base of a path or stairway leading up. This could be a natural dirt and stone, or more crafted and polished, like stairs of marble or granite. Let it appear to you as it wants to appear. At the top of the stair is a platform to the open air, maybe an open field, a stone court, or a mountain plateau. Beyond and all around you is a sea of stars. You are at the edge of the world. On the platform is an immense set of scales. On one side rests a large white feather, and on the other, a simple cushion the size of your body. On the scales, perhaps on top or hanging in the middle, is a reflective surface. It could appear as a gem or a mirror, maybe a bowl of water or polished plaque. You are here to learn how to make your heart lighter for the journey back to your cosmic soul from which all your lifetime springs. It is an opportunity to make adjustments before we take our final journey to the hereafter in this life. So envision as you lay down on the cushion and rest, laying your hands on your heart, and feel and allow your heart to open. Allow your dreaming body to rise and step away from the body resting on the cushion. Now, with that perspective, ask the scales what you can do in this world, in this place, in this time, to make your heart lighter. You are looking for timely and useful information that you can act on now rather than in a distant future. Look into the reflective surface and see what emerges. It may be a vision, a phrase, or maybe even another journey. Remember this. Find a way to remember it. Now, at this point, I invite our listeners to come back to recording and maybe give themselves 5 or 10 minutes for the journey. When you feel yourself come back, when you return, I would like for you to write down an action that you can help take to fulfill the information you received from this journey. Make your heart lighter in this time, in these days.
Tim's beautiful invitation to the journey, and follow it with a not quiet time or recorded drumming or recorded music or recorded nature sounds as seems appropriate for you. I understand our producer's intervention. I would have been very alarmed myself had I not known that some quiet time was going to come, and actually I wasn't sure it was going to come myself. So, Tim, rather abrupt temporary conclusion, but the instructions were received, and I think that those listening already received a lot and probably have a lot to write. What further action would you propose for them, very briefly?
Very briefly, I would propose that whatever they experienced and saw on the scales or with the scales, that they do take some physical action to take that forward. Something that they can either write or create. It may be information where they can actually have a conversation with someone or take an action that may be just as simple as like planting a flower or taking a walk. Something that allows them to reflect and integrate.
I'm very much in favor of simple action plans that it's almost impossible not to perform. Take the walk, eat the orange, pick the flower, or simply sniff the flower, something as simple as that, or write or draw something. Thank you, Tim. I'm sorry about the intervention, but having grown up on old-fashioned radio myself, I share the concern about what is called dead air, so...
Absolutely.
That it would happen. We're going to take another break. We're having a very good time with Timothy Ewan. Visionaryroad.com is his website. We'll be back with Way of the Dreamer to perhaps share some more dream material and more tricks to get more out of your dreams after the break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com. Get your personal dream symbols and discover the ones you dream about in Linda McKenzie's Symbols of You, a new book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, and more.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
This is Robert Moss. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer. Go to my website, mossdreams.com. We've announced a bunch of programs. I lead very little in person, but one of the places where I do that is Mosswood Hollow, 45 minutes from Seattle, in a red cedar forest. Tim has been there. It's an extraordinary place. We have a couple of spaces left for a retreat called Writing and Creating as a State of Conscious Dreaming. And for perhaps my most terrifying and deepest program, the psychopop training to help us help people with death, dying, and the afterlife. So those might be calling to you. Anyway, have a look, and you'll also see my online offerings. And go to Tim Ewan's site, visionaryroad.com. So, Tim, you played guide for me with some dreams, and then you guided us to the scales of adjustment, which I think was a potentially very profound journey. I saw a few things myself in the time that we had. Do you have a dream or recent experience you would like to tell? And we'll see whether perhaps you'd like to go through the Lightning Dreamwork game with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have an interesting one that happened a few weeks ago. So in the dream, I'm indoors in a house, and I'm talking to one of my longtime friends. I believe it is Aaron, his name. And as I'm talking to him, I am mentioning that, I'm getting rid of the old X-Wing in the backyard. So this is a full-size X-Wing, starship, starfighter from Star Wars. And it's just sitting in the backyard and not being used. So I feel I'm going to put it up for sale.
Oh.
That is a little snippet of the dream.
Okay. All right. Well, what are your feelings around the dream?
It felt somewhat matter-of-fact. I probably had a little bit of nostalgia for this, the starship that I had used in the past, but wasn't using anymore. But I also wanted someone to get some use out of it, so I kind of felt like I just wanted to let it go. I felt like I was releasing, so it was time. There weren't super strong emotions.
Did you give the dream a title?
X-Wing for sale.
X-Wing for sale. Okay. Reality check. Have you had an X-Wing sitting in your backyard?
Well, no.
I thought it seemed completely a realistic scene to me. So you have not physically had maybe a miniature? No?
As a child, I did have a toy. I did have an X-Wing toy as a child.
Okay. And you were a Star Wars fan, presumably?
Oh, very much so. Very much so.
Okay, so I've come from another world, of course. This is a funny way to get a conversation about Star Wars. But I've come from a world that has not heard about Star Wars. What is an X-Wing, and how is it used in the films?
Yeah, so an X-Wing is, in the movies, it's a starfighter. So it's like a jet. It's like a fighter jet in space. And they're the ones that are used by the Rebellion, the Rebel Alliance, the good guys in the film. And so it's a symbol of freedom, of war in the sense of liberation.
Okay. All right. That's helpful. Is it possible that in the future you will take some action of maybe clearing out, removing something, replacing something that is comparable to what's going on in the backyard? And is it possible that your friend will be involved in a process like that?
It is possible. I mean, we're both fans, and we're both the same age, and so there's some parallel life, experiences. So I could see that. I could see that we could possibly be, discussing moving things on that we once used, but don't anymore. Something that might have been important and large at one point just might not be anymore.
So what's your question, or what do you want to explore further in relation to this dream scene?
Yeah, so I'm curious as to where I was going with this in the dream. Like, I woke up soon after that, so it didn't quite continue. And I wanted to know, if I was going to sell a X-Wing, was there a buyer? Was there someone interested in it? Was there someone that would use it? And again, if there was a symbolic sense to it, what could that be? What could I be letting go of?
Right. This is part of the effort of my dream process, but you'll have to check my memory. Is it in an X-Wing that Luke Skywalker destroys the Death Star when he closes his eyes? He's in an X-Wing. All right,
yes.
So if it's my dream, it brings back very happy excitement, happy recollection of a scene where something impossible is accomplished because you just trust to instinct, to vision, to the thoughts instead of to the external senses and how things seem, and you don't worry about the odds and you go for it. So if the X-Wing represents that kind of thing to me in moving it on, selling it, giving it to someone else, am I maybe not only clearing out my own space, but transferring some kind of visionary power and the romance of that to someone else? I have a contemporary analogy, which I don't like, but I'm going to have to mention it. It also makes you think about clearing X, formerly known as Twitter, and our lives. That would be a good thing to do, I think. So my mind makes a great jump from Luke Skywalker closing his eyes at the controls of an X-Wing to the need to stop the operations like what X has become from distorting our perception. So I make an interesting stretch there. And the rest I'm going to have to think about. Clearing out is a recurring theme for many of us. It certainly was for me before I moved house a couple of years ago. Having cleared out the immensity of stuff from the old house, I feel I'm pretty cool in terms of having cleared stuff out, but I would still consider, is there something more to be removed? So is there some action you're going to take as a result of this?
Yeah, I think I'd like to, one, contact my friend and see if there's a common theme about where we're moving in life. And, I think I need to take inventory of both my internal and external resources and see if there's something I'm ready to let go of, ready to pass on.
I think that's a theme that will be familiar to almost everybody, and it's sort of inescapable when you've got something as huge in proportion to any normal backyard
right.
sitting out there, that it's time to move along. So I think the not knee-jerk, but I think the sane and rational response of most of us to that image would be, oh, geez, so what is there that I need to clear out? Whatever happy memories might be associated with it. And does it also mean moving on from beyond some past set of attitudes that I had? I mean, the early Star Wars, when we first saw them as kids or as young, much younger people anyway, adventure and excitement about them and a marvelous drama of dark versus light, etc. I really am reluctant to give that up now that we're talking about it. I don't know that I want to clear out the possibility of having that sense of heroism again, but maybe there is something from earlier life, some attitude, some legacy that I don't want to be bound to. All right, we're going to take another short break. We'll be back for another precious 8 minutes with Tim Ewan. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hello again, this is Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest is Tim Ewan, who we last saw removing, or thinking about removing, an X-Wing, as in the fighter craft in Star Wars from his backyard. What an interesting backyard that must be out there in Boise, Idaho. let's just comment briefly, particularly for those of you who are not familiar with it, but also for those of you who know about it and are actively seeking to grow an interest in dreaming among those around you. Because you know what? Lots of people are hungry to get into this dream thing, but don't know how to go about it, don't know where to turn. Still think if they're going to tell a dream, it might be unsafe, or people will go on a fishing expedition, or they'll make them sound weird or silly, or they look them up in the kind of book that tells you what dream symbols mean and one size fits all. Our lightning dreamwork game, as we call it, is a method of sharing dreams, or in fact personal stories of any kind, that makes it safe and fun to do this just about anywhere, just about anyone. But if you're playing guide or teacher or helper, you don't have to have any particular qualifications. Of course, you're fortunate if you get someone like Tim, who's done so much dreaming, kept a dream journal for a long time and is a certified teacher of active dreaming, my approach. But someone with good heart and good intentions can play guide to anybody else. I learn a lot when I ask people who are quite new to this to give me feedback on my own dreams. They will start out by looking to me to tell them what their dreams mean, but as we go along, they'll learn very quickly. You don't want other people to tell you what your dreams mean or to tell you what your life means. You want them to give suggestions because you might be clueless about what's going on and you need help, but don't let them tell you what it means. This is why our If It Were My Dream protocol is so important. If you tell me a dream, I might say, well, if it were my dream, I'd think about such and such. Or what I bring up might be one of my own dreams, or an episode I remember, a life episode. Not a theory, but something that might be my way of beginning to enter your territory and my way of giving you a point of comparison which will expand your understanding of what's going on. So there are four steps in our lightning dreamwork game. And Tim followed them without us pausing to say 1, 2, 3, 4. But I'd like to review them quickly, and then I'd like to talk to Tim about his experience of guiding the game, playing the game with other people. So there are four steps. Number one, you get the story, and you get it told as simply and clearly as possible, and you ask for a title for the story. When you do this, you're already growing the power of the person who has a dream or something to share to tell stories and hold other people's attention. You're making them a better communicator. When you ask for a title, you're also helping them to give names to experiences in life. And there's great power in that and great clarity in that. Second step, ask a few essential questions. For simplicity, I think of these as three questions. Number one, what are your feelings around this? First, feelings on waking, feelings around the experience. What you felt in the dream is interesting, yes, but your first feelings will be immediate guidance on where you want to go with this, whether you want to spend time with it at all, whether it's urgent, whether it's negative or otherwise, even whether it's literal or symbolic. Second question, what do you recognize from this and the rest of your life, and would any of it play out in the future? We tend to ignore the fact that dreams contain glimpses of the future, things that will happen, things that may or may not happen, and we need to look at that. And the third question is, what do you want to know, or where's your curiosity? It might be more about exploring a theme than a specific question. Step three, maybe if it were my dream, if it were my life, if it were my experience, you can say anything you like as long as you are polite and own it as your own projection, your own association, and not as the necessary interpretation of the other person's experience. And then, finally, you want an action plan. It could be what the Jungians call amplification. I mean, following the theme of the dream through mythology, folklore. It might be a research assignment. I love playing dream detective by researching funny words or situations to come up in dreams. It might be creative. Write, draw, paint, collage. Do something like that. Might be shamanic shopping. You're wearing the color yellow. Okay, go get something yellow and try it on. It might be dream reentry, which is what we do when we take a dream image or something like a dream and we travel back inside it. In the workshops, we often use shamanic drumming, live or recorded, power and fuel the journey back inside a remembered dream. And the applications are endless. The sovereign cure for nightmares, to go back inside a dream and confront the challenge on its own ground. It's an opportunity for further romance and adventure. If you've been having a dream you really enjoy, it's a chance to dialogue someone who appeared in the dream. And so, and above all, perhaps, or the foundation of it all, it's a chance to get to the bottom of what the dream is saying, because the full experience of a dream fully remembered is its own interpretation. A dream report, however detailed, is only part of the story. If you can get yourself back inside the dream, you can get the full story. And you'll learn, as Tim knows very well, that you don't have to do this alone. We say dreaming is a personal experience, yes, but you can learn to become, let us say, a mutual or interactive dreamer, traveling with others in interesting ways. So, Tim, you've had a lot of experience now of working a Lightning Dreamwork game with people. What are some of your feelings, observations, after teaching people to share this way?
Well, one is absolutely can be done anywhere. This
yeah.
is something I've shared with people in line at the grocery store, just on a walk around the block, at parties, at festivals. It literally can be done anywhere, and that the power of the portability of it is it can't be understated. Two, just opening up this way to invite people to share their dreams is in itself very empowering. I found so many people that would, you know, share a dream and then kind of laugh it off, expecting the other person just to kind of make a joke of it or, you know, pass it off as a lighthearted sort of entertainment. But then they say, "Oh, you're actually interested in hearing what my dream has to say." And I said, "Yes." And
yeah.
that opens up so many doors for people.
Yeah. That is, yes, you describe that so well. This is a moment of absolute awakening and sometimes absolute shock. Oh, my God, they want to hear my dream, and they have questions about it, and we're going to go somewhere with it. They're not just going to shrug it off as weird. We haven't been listening to each other's dreams, frankly, because we haven't had a good process for doing it, which provides,
right.
you know, some social reinforcement, makes it fun, and you're getting somewhere with it, and you're being guided on doing something with it. And also, I mean, quite candidly, because a lot of us initially don't really know how to tell the story. We
mm-hmm.
can't get it up to being clearly. We pile ourselves up. We say it's weird or bizarre or trivial or it's nothing much. We throw an autobiography out of sequence. We don't get the story straight. One of the great gifts of our approach in the School of Active Dreaming is we do help people to tell their stories much better. And in the course of learning to tell their stories better, they're also learning to choose the stories they're going to give some effort and some energy and some attention to in life. So they're learning to choose their stories, not just tell them. And stories that are repetitive and tedious and stories of failure and ineptitude into a braver and brighter future. So we're still having a very good time with Tim Ewan. Like all good things, as they say, it will have to pause. We're going to take one more break, and then we'll come back to talk to Tim and say, "Dream on." You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Well, thank you for joining us on Way of the Dream, and thanks to Timothy Ewan. You are a terrific dream coach, dreamer, dream healer, dream mobilizer, Tim. Thank you for helping to bring the gift of dreaming to more people in our culture. It's time.
Thank you, Robert, and yeah, thank you for having me on, and thank you for the work that you do to invite more and more people into this world. To the dream.
Well, thanks to all, and thanks to Jay, our wonderful producer. And as we go forward on the roads of life, may our doors and gates and paths be open, and may the doors and gates and paths of any who wish to do us or those we love any harm be closed. May it be so.